This is Ballpark Road Trip. And if you're listening to this podcast, you like ballparks, or you are going to be visiting a ballpark sometime in the future. Well, you've come to the right place. We will be covering a different Major League ballpark every week on our way to 30, giving you tips and pointers to make your own visit a success. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ballpark Road Trip. I'm your host, Jacob Russell Snyder, and this is part two of our special 2024 ballpark trip to the two juice boxes of MLB, Tropicana Field, and this week's park, Minute Maid Park in Houston, Texas. Now, this was the first trip to Houston for me, so I figured I would need some extra backup on this trip. So I found two longtime season ticket holders, Maui and Leanna, to show me all the ins and outs of their home ballpark. I'll be talking to each of them later in the program. Now, I want to take a moment at the top of the show to mention where I have been meeting all these different fans from around the country. I would say the majority of them are part of the Ballpark Chasers Facebook group. And if you're listening to this podcast and you aren't a part of this group, I recommend you join ASAP. It's a great group filled with fans all with the same goal in mind, to visit all 30 MLB parks and maybe more. Now, as I mentioned last week, this episode is a little out of the ordinary because it is out of order. I've been going in chronological order from the time that I was 6 years old up until now, but I figured since this was a current ballpark trip and I was going to knock off a couple ballparks this year, 2024, I figured I would give you podcast episodes kind of in real time. So the first thing I wanted to do to get ready for my trip to Houston was get on the line with Maui, an Astros season ticket holder, to learn all I could before heading out to the ballpark.
Minute Maid Park.
Maui, thanks for joining me on a ballpark road trip. I'm here to talk a little bit about Minute Maid Park, your home park. How many games do you go to a year, do you think?
I try to average about 40.
Are you a season ticket holder?
Yeah, so I've been a season ticket holder since 2017, and I loved it. It's been a great experience. It does help. You know, we go to 3 World Series, you win one.
Did I hear that you live pretty close to the ballpark?
Yes, I actually live right across the street, so that kind of helps. I don't have to fight with parking or pay additionally for more parking.
So what came first, you being a season ticket holder or living across from the ballpark?
The 2017 World Series came first.
All right.
Yeah. No, during the World Series, I think it was cheaper for me to sign up for season tickets than it was for me to buy 2 tickets to one game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And were you already living close to the ballpark at that point?
No, I lived about 30 minutes away. So I think about 25 miles here.
Such a fun experience. You like living down there? Is that, even if you're not on going to the game, and there's a game day going down, is that annoying or is it all part of the fun?
It isn't too bad. You know, the traffic is minimal for me. I get off early enough where the game traffic hasn't started coming in yet. There are times where if I have to go somewhere and I'm running late, it's more of an annoyance, like people blocking the exit to my apartment. But yeah.
How would you recommend people get to the game if you're thinking that traffic might be an issue? Is public transportation an option in Houston?
It is, but it's not very good. I think that's one of the biggest gripes that people have is public transportation. We do have a metro rail, but it is very limited. So with people living here or even coming to visit, if they stay outside of the city, park and ride is very great. You park in one of the lots. We have one in Katy. One in Humble by the airport, one on the south side, again, by the airport. So if you choose to stay close to the airports, you do have a way into town. And they'll take you close enough to the park where you get a walk. We do have a lot of parking options. We have, 6 garages within, 4 blocks. We do have a few breweries that give free parking, a few restaurants. If you park there, there is one, the famous Ninfa's. She started the fajita movement, if you're on the south side.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah. Unless you're from California and you think that they started their fajitas. I think it's a restaurant down in Los Angeles or Sacramento have the same.
I don't know. I feel a very big difference between our California Mexican food and the Houston Tex-Mex. So very different recipes there.
She offers a free shuttle. It's probably like 3 miles away. But if you park there, eat lunch or dinner there, they'll shuttle you over for free and pick you up at the end of the game.
Now, even though you're a season ticket holder, how would you recommend someone get their tickets to the game when they come into Houston? Because this podcast is mostly for visitors who are coming in, not for locals who might have a season ticket package. Would you recommend going through the team or going through the secondary market like StubHub or Game Time?
So I think it also depends on who you're coming to see. You know, if you're coming to see the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, big ticket teams, sometimes it will be better to be StubHub. We do have a lot of local pages for resale. I run two of them. And I think we both have averaged about 8 years open now, 7 years. And it is an option. You know, we try to vet everybody as good as possible. We do have some bad people that try to come in, but we limit them a lot. We're pretty good at noticing who's there to, I guess, take advantage of people and who's there to actually help. There's another big ticket page, and he's really good about the same thing. He wants to vet you before you can even sell. If you're not a season ticket holder, then he's not going to let you sell on his page.
Do you want to give a free shout out to your page for people out there?
Yeah, sure. It's Houston Astros Ticket Marketplace, buy and sell, and then Astros Ticket Exchange. Like I said, just fill out all three, answer all three questions, and we typically approve you. We do vet some people. If your page looks a little suspicious, you know, if you're looking at like Raiders buy and sell, and then you'll have Chargers, and then you have Florida Panthers buy and sell. There's a little bit more chance that we're not going to approve you, because that's typically what these bots look for. They just add a bunch of ticket pages. And then they spam or whatever they need to do.
Well, let me ask you, where are your tickets located? Do you get the same seats every year, or do you try to switch in different places?
So I started off in 320, right behind home plate. Beautiful views. To me, you can't beat it for the money anyway. You see everything. You aren't in the crowds. The bad thing is there's no elevator to my seats at that time, so I'd have to walk from one end of the park to the middle. More of an annoyance more than anything. Resale value for me wasn't also there.
Right.
So people want to sit downstairs. People want to sit in the first levels and clubs, and that's fine. I always convince people. I'm like, hey, you know, you save a little bit of money, have great views. They sit up there and they're like, oh, you know what? You're right. And then, so I like to push that area just to help other season ticket holders. Cause like I said, the views are great. You can't beat it on a Friday night when the fireworks are popping off.
Does Minute Maid Park have a deck that's higher than that as well? Or is that the top deck?
Yeah. So the 300s, they're going to share the same mezzanine area, but then the 400 will be right above it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like below the aisle kind of.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So where you walk in, you go down for the 300s, you go up for the fours.
Okay.
Now I've moved down to the right field. So I'm row 2 and 153. And now I just market it as, hey, King Tuck's kingdom. You know, hey, you want to touch a player, you're pretty much right there.
So you're in row 2 there. Do you have netting in front of you, and what's your feeling on netting now that they've extended it, and how do you think that influences where you sit at all, or where you would recommend being up close like that?
So when the Astros weren't doing so good, you know, back in 2015-16, you get seats behind the dugout, dirt cheap, $50, and you're there, and it was great. I'd always warn the people behind me, and I was like, hey, if a ball's coming this way, I'm ducking. I think I had like a broken tooth that year, and I was like, I spent too much money on repairing this. But no, I'm a fan. I wasn't at first. I know the catalyst, or one of the catalysts, was the Cubs game where, who was it? I forgot the Cubs player's name. He hit the foul ball, and it hit the child here in Houston.
Oh, it was here in Houston. Okay, gotcha.
That's one of them.
Yeah.
I know there has been some people that are really upset because you lose that sight line, but in the outfield we don't have any nets. It doesn't bother me too much anymore. I think row one, maybe it might row two, because now you don't have direct access to get balls as players leave
Right.
the field at the end of innings, and that's what you're paying for the big dollars anyway.
That was kind of my thought was that getting those first couple rows, you want to be able to kind of either reach over and give a high five or get a ball thrown to you. And with that netting there, whether that kind of takes away the extra value of being down there and whether it's better to be back, like maybe in the second deck. But you say in right field, you guys don't have the netting over there.
Yeah, we don't have that issue. I think it goes about three quarters of the way down.
Gotcha. Cool.
I know for us it was a big deal visiting other parks because of that. So we ended up opting now just for, like you said, seats a little bit further back. So when they throw it over the fence, we still have a chance to get a ball.
Yeah. So you mentioned you like the 300 deck, that kind of top deck below the aisle, the 300. Anywhere else that you think people should check out or either sit? Or I feel like there's a lot of standing room as well in Minute Maid Park. Any place that people should check out while they're there, aside from the 300 deck that you might recommend?
Yeah, I mean, Home Run Alley, walking around is going to be your easiest area.
What's Home Run
Uh,
Alley? Where
so,
is that located?
so it'll be left field, mirror, or running parallel with Crawford. It'll be where your big store is, Union Station, all the history with the trains and Houston taking over, or the Astros taking over. We just built a new center field store. Beautiful store, TVs everywhere. You got a Halo TV in there. You can watch the game. A lot of merch to buy. On our first base side, you'll see the Mickey Mouse from the All-Star game. I think, what is it, the Angels? Also, we'll have our piggy bank from the, I don't remember what All-Star game that was, but our piggy bank's out there with the Houston logo painted out on our boot from the 2004 All-Star game, I believe. It's also out there, good pictures.
What's the petroleum pump? Is there some kind of gas pump out in the outfield?
Yeah, so Home Run Alley is going to be where our home run pump is, sponsored by Phillips 66. So every time a home player has hit a home run since the opening of the park, it's been adding. I think we're pushing 3,000 now. It
Oh,
might be
they keep
more.
a rolling tally. Great.
Yeah. So for over the 24-year history of the park, those are all the home runs hit during the regular season, I believe.
Now you can see that out in left center, and you see people standing over there. Do you have to buy a ticket for that area, or is that something you can visit on your own, or do you have to get there really early and stand there?
So it is standing room, so first come, first serve. We do have a famous season ticket holder. He passed away, I want to say, a year or two ago, but you would always see him out there. He would have his big hat and big beard. You'd always see him on the cameras, and they'd pan to him. Long time season ticket holder, but he's out there. His family gets there, gates open. So for season ticket holders, during the week that's 4:30. During the weekend, it'll be 5 o'clock. They're out there. They have their spot. People know them. People come take pictures with them. It's a place to be. I think during the World Series, we got their gates open, and it was three of us, and we were there. 2 hours before the game, 3 hours if there was something happening at the fields. Our second deck in the outfield also has a lot of standing rooms, and that's where our game used store is. So a lot of people go up there, get mementos. Unfortunately, the Astros don't do same day game used balls, so you would have to come back like a week later
Oh,
before
gotcha.
they brought those out. So that's a negative side to the park. I know some parks do have same day or in seat service where they'll bring it to you too, but we're unfortunately not like that.
Do you have to worry? Let's say you wanted to get one of those great standing room home run seats. Do you have to worry about stepping on the toes of any season ticket holder who's like, say, hey, that's my normal seat, or that's my where I normally stand? Any kind of unwritten laws or rules about that?
No, I don't think so. Like I said, that family is there, but they're nice. They'll speak to you. They're not gonna push you out of their corner that they get to. They understand, like, hey, they weren't there. They weren't there. They have tickets. Somewhere in the, I think either the upper decks or in the mezzanine level. And the same, they know what it is. You know, nobody's there to hurt each other. we're not rude. And even to go to the bathroom, it'd be, hey, you know, I'm going to use the restroom. Do you mind? They're like, yeah, we'll take care of you.
Oh, good. Because we have our famous right field drummers out in Oakland. And I always worried whenever I would get a seat out in the bleachers and come early to get a front row. Is this like a certain drummer's seat that they're going to show up in 20 minutes and tell me to move? So that's good. It's good to know. Let's talk food a little bit. You traditional, or do you like to try the different concoctions that they come up with every year?
I'm cheap, so I'll bring my food.
Ah, but there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. I will say there is a lot of food at Houston that I do eat, in other parks as well. But Houston specifically, I want to say 2017, we had the chicken cone. So it was a waffle cone with like mashed potatoes, and they would mix in the honey sauce, the honey mustard sauce, with the chicken, popcorn chicken. Crazy. Yeah, we had our popcorn or our helmet tacos. So it'd be nachos, but you use tater tots instead.
Nice. Oh, great.
Fan favorite. Last year we had one of our local barbecue spots, Killings upstairs. They were delicious. We have a lot of Hispanic food this year and last year too. La Michoacana, they're serving up pupusas, tacos, gorditas, I think, and even tortas. So it's great to see them expanding, giving everybody a little bit what they want.
That's great. But you bring your own food. So are you allowed to bring food and beverage in?
They give you a gallon-sized bag to bring food, so everything you can fit in the food. So you can go to a barbecue spot outside, you can get a hamburger, you can bring in fresh vegetables and ranch dipping, if that's more your flavor.
Yeah.
Fit it into the bag and go. You're only allowed to bring in 1 liter bottle of water, though. So you would have to either buy a drink from them or just drink water. But they have free refills now. So if you do have a souvenir cup and you're coming for a series, bring your cup with you, free refills, even if you bought it, you know, 2 days ago. Just wash it for your safety.
I've noticed a few ballparks doing that. I went to Tampa recently and they have, you know, the same kind of thing, just refill stations, and you buy your souvenir soda for about $17. I'm like, all right, well, I better come back and use that again, because that's an expensive drink. Any places specifically that you like to bring your food from? Is there a taco truck or a barbecue place or anywhere close to downtown that's easy? Or are people going to have to go out of the way if they want a specific restaurant and just get that somewhere and drive in?
Yeah, so with Minute Maid Park, anyway, while we are central, there is food options, but it's more like sit-down restaurants. We do have great burgers down in East Downtown. You know, we have barbecue probably like 3 miles out, Truth Barbecue, Pinkerton's Barbecue. They, you know, Texas Monthly, top 20, top 100 stores. We have Burger Bodega, great smash burgers, Trill Burgers. That's the furthest one, probably like 7 miles away. But if you want different style of food, you might have to drive in. So I typically will take food, like I could take a sandwich, or I could take bread rolls. So I'll take a bread roll with butter. Nice. Yeah. So just a snack to hold me over till dinner.
Yeah.
And then come back, eat dinner. So,
I mean, there's a lot of people who want to go and experience everything. And they say, hey, if you don't get the best seat and don't try it, you're not doing it. But I'm a little like you. I go to enough baseball games where, you know, I love the idea that it's a Tuesday night casual thing, you know, and so that doesn't include buying $30 worth of barbecue nachos. So,
no, yeah. I mean, every time I've traveled to different parks, you know, if I do 2 days, I'll probably do the same. I like to explore. So I think the Mets have like a throwing cage up on the mezzanine in the outfield. So with me and my wife went, I was out there, hey, throw the ball, see what you can win us, you know, spin the wheel, Jackie Robinson thing. It was great. I loved it. I love, doing the budget trips too, because that's where you learn a lot. Somewhere where you wouldn't sit, or something you wouldn't eat normally. In Houston, we are lucky enough to have that, you know. You can get $6 tickets.
Yeah, I was going to say, any ways to save money at the park in different ways, whether it's a tip or a certain day of the week or anything like that?
So Coca-Cola does have their Coca-Cola bundles. There are on random days. I don't know them off the top of my head.
That's
I want to
that, yeah, no
say,
worries.
yeah, Tuesdays maybe you have like the drink and the popcorn or hot dog. Dollar Tuesday is great day for the park. Everybody comes in with their dollar, buy their dollar dogs around the park. And then you buy four at a time per person. Come back, get you another four. Students, if you're a student or, yeah, students through Student Beans, you're registered. They give you a discount of tickets, military or first responders, through GovX, Monday through Thursday. You get
Nice.
discounted tickets, $10 upstairs, 15 in the outfield upper deck, and then in the lowers it's 25.
Oh, nice.
Subject to availability, but I mean there's ways to save money out there.
Yeah, it sounds like lots of affordable options. Do you have any favorite promotion night?
Jackie Robinson Day has been my favorite. So I'm actually born in Los Angeles and I'm a Dodger fan, and I moved here when I was young.
Wait, wait,
But
wait, wait,
Jack.
wait, 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 wait. Hold on. How is? And you also have a lot of friends who are Astros fans, right? Right. You're really popular in this Astros community. Do they know this about you?
I catch a lot of hell. But no, yeah, especially Jackie Robinson Day, because I get away with, I can wear Dodgers jerseys or Brooklyn jerseys a lot easier. But wearing Dodgers jerseys on Jackie Robinson Day is like, oh, people are like, oh, it's a Jackie Robinson jersey. And I joke around with a lot of people because, what was it, 2 years ago, they went to wearing Dodger blue on the 42. So now I'm like, oh, you guys are wearing Dodger blue today, huh? And everybody's, yeah, go to hell. So, yeah, it's great. Jackie Robinson Day is my favorite, I think, then the Hispanic Heritage Weekend. Just seeing all the players get recognition, Venezuela, Panama, Mauricio Dubon being this, I think, what, second player and first player to win a Golden Glove from Honduras, or yeah, I think it's Honduran. So it's been great. My family's from Guatemala, a small town down in Central, or small city, country down in Central America. And kids want to see people that look like them playing ball get recognized. So Hispanic Heritage Month, or yeah, weekend for me is it's great.
Oh, that's nice. Do you guys have firework nights?
Yes, it's Friday nights. As long as it's not raining, you will. After the game, probably like 10 minutes that it takes to open the top. We'll have different theme nights. They'll have like Star Wars night on Star Wars weekend. If it falls on it, they'll have Star Wars themed music playing while the fireworks are going. During Hispanic Heritage Month, it'll be Hispanic songs playing on the DJ booth with the fireworks going, and just different fun things like that.
You mentioned that on fireworks night, it takes a few moments to open the roof before the fireworks. What are the chances that someone will come to a game and the roof will be open?
Very low, unfortunately. During the beginning of the season, we'll probably get one game, maybe two games, depending on weather. I don't know what's going on lately. I think we've had one game this year, maybe two, so far. They say it's for the humidity, and then it makes sense. Like, hey, you built a stadium that's open, like up in Texas in Arlington, where it's unbearable, man. If you go to a game in the middle of the day, you're just getting beat on.
Right.
And so I guess they want to avoid that. When I first started as a season ticket holder, I believe there was more games with the open top. And it was great until the sun, creeps over your section. And then you're like, all right, I'm out of here. I'm going to go sit somewhere else. But it's very low. We do have a website. I believe it's Astros Roof Report. And if you check it on the day before you go, they'll tell you, hey, this is the promotion of the day. This is who's playing. Is the roof going to be open? Do they have anything else like that? Small things. But it's pretty cool. They'll give you a heads up.
Do you have to worry when the roof is closed about any sun or heat anywhere in the stadium, maybe during sunset or at certain parts of the day?
I guess during as dusk becomes and into play with the sun going down later, the angle of the sun, I want to say into first base side, will just start hitting you straight in your eyes.
Oh, okay. So if you have like a 6 o'clock or a 7 o'clock, and you're getting there a little early,
You'll start with the sun, yeah.
maybe third base side if you don't want that.
Yeah, and that was my issue. That was an issue I had upstairs. It was during the day games or the later games, the sun will just start come creeping in on you, and then for a few minutes, you're uncomfortable, 30, 20 minutes. And then as the sun progresses, then you're okay.
Any tips for people who like either autographs or like to see batting practice or anything like that? Is that possible? Can you go to a seat that's not your own for batting practice?
Yeah, so batting practice, it's gates open 2 hours prior. So unless you're doing the 1 p.m. game, we'll have batting practice usually. There are some certain instances where they probably have an event like a signing for kids that they won't. But my tip is if you do buy third party, if you're visiting, join one of the pages and get a season ticket, and they'll let you in 30 minutes early. So on a 7 o'clock start, you'll get in at 4:30 through the home plate or the center field entrance, and the Astros will still be hitting till about 5 o'clock. You go down to the front rows of the first base side, second or third base side in the outfield, and they'll be there hitting balls, and you'll be able to talk to them. Usually they can come over, sign, but you have about 30 minutes. Then once 5 o'clock comes, the visiting team will come out, and you can stay there. We tell people all the time, like, hey, people understand it's 5 o'clock. If you have a kid in front of your seat, we give them some time, set your things down. Just don't be rude. If somebody asks you to move, just like slide over. But usually everybody understands, like, hey, we're just trying to get autographs like everybody else.
Cool. Do you have a favorite area or a favorite place in the park besides your season ticket?
Upstairs. So, we have Taj's Hill for the longest time up to about 2016, and they replaced it with a big like star, I think what it is here now. So the views are great. You can see the whole park basically sitting opposite of where my original seats were. Now you see the outfield all the way to home plate in reverse, and it's great. The views are beautiful. You can see everything right in front of you. You're not breaking your neck. It used to be Torchy's up there. I believe now it's a El Tiempo Cantina. Delicious food. Margaritas are very dangerous. Drink one, see how you feel before you go back for that second one. But yeah, the views up there to me are great. And you have a lot of space to move around and talk to people. So it's fun. That'd be my second place.
Let's talk atmosphere a little bit. First, talked a little bit about you being a Astros and a Dodgers fan. Any visiting fans have to worry about wearing their visiting team's colors to an Astros games? Can you wear your team's jersey to a game?
Yeah, I've never seen anything that's become an issue. And I think, aside from the Dodgers situation a few years ago, there I've never had any issues wearing. I've brought people. I had my friend come in from Atlanta. He didn't catch any hell. I've worn Dodger gear myself. I haven't had any issues. I think it's more like when people, consume too much alcohol and start getting mouthy back and forth. And that could be like our home fans or visiting fans. But I think that's a standard across the board. I've gone to a park where they're like, hey, for the next 3 hours, don't mind what we say. We don't mean it. It's just banter. After those 3 hours, we could be friends again. And it's the same thing here in Houston. I mean, we don't care. Like I said, as long as dropping like F bombs when there's a family around you. Most fans, I understand, like, hey, like, this is how people make money. Like, fans are fans to celebrate, and we'd want to be treated with respect, if we left our home park as well.
Have you found more issues being an Astros fan on the road?
Luckily, no. So in one of the big Astros pages, there is reports of, people getting bottles of water thrown at them or beer, but I've never had any issues. I also only have traveled to two parks post scandal, but I've been to the Yankees. I've sat up front. I've been to Boston, same thing, and it's been great. Again, everybody, as the game progresses, they'll be like, "Ah, oh, boo Astros!" You're like, "Yeah, I'm sorry, guys." And they're like, no, it's okay. We're just having fun. And even on
I
the
feel like those two
streets,
parks would be the ones you might get it
yeah.
the hardest. So that's great.
I haven't gone to Dodger Stadium though. My
Yeah,
wife is an Astros
right.
fan.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So we've been pre-scandal. I haven't been post. And I do have friends that go. They say they get booed, and I don't really know if that counts as being harassed. If it's 9 innings, and then at the end of the day, everybody's like, "Oh, have a great day." does it count? I mean, everybody would be different at that, in that point part, but
yeah. Now, in terms of traditions that you guys have in Houston, how old were you when you learned the words to Deep in the Heart of Texas? Oh, that's right. You're from LA, yeah. So did you have to learn it when you, from the baseball game or from Pee Wee's Big Adventure? Or?
I learned it in, I think it's in doctrine. Like, you know, once you move here, you get like your first first gun, Bible, and a
glass
of whiskey.
And the words too.
Yeah. No, I moved here when I was my last year of junior high, and I think that's where I learned a lot of it. You know, you learn the Texas Pledge of Allegiance, which doesn't exist in California, and it's really weird. I did have to learn sir and ma'am. I don't know if that's a cultural thing, but it was a shock to me because I'd never referred to anybody as sir and ma'am before. But I guess
but
it doesn't
of course
hurt.
The reason I'm asking you this is because you guys do sing that after after or before Take Me Out to the Ball Game in the seventh inning.
So you do Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and then you roll into Deep in the Heart of Texas.
Ah, all right, so good. So even if visitors don't know the words, they can at least do
it's the on the board,
part.
Yeah. You know, and if we win, we get some Texas country, My Texas, I believe, is what it is at the end of the games, and then you have Orbit out. Yeah, and then you have Orbit out there waving the flag, and that one's a little bit more known, I think.
Yeah. Any favorite between inning scoreboard or screen game or feature that they have?
Karaoke is fun for me. I like it. I like seeing the people out there with their fake microphones. And then I think during the postseason we did the Lion King where people would hold their babies up. That's always
fun. The Simba cam, yeah.
Yeah, that's great for me.
So I guess a couple more questions. We only have a couple more minutes, but some things to wrap up our conversation. First, if someone is coming to Houston for the weekend and they only have a chance to go to one game, would you recommend a Friday night game, a Saturday game? I don't know whether you do night games or day games on Saturday, or a Sunday matinee game.
So I would ask them what they have planned. So like, because Friday nights are usually nights, 7 o'clock starts. Saturdays do alternate between 3, 6, and 7. So depending on what they tell me they're doing, I'll explain to them what we have. Like Friday, you know, we have fireworks. A lot of people love the fireworks. Saturdays be a little bit more easier to explore the city and then end up at an Astros game. We do have like the free charging station, so you don't have to worry about not running out of juice for your phone. Friday, if they leave late, like I have a late flight, matinee games are my favorite. 1 o'clock starts, you know. You don't fight the sun as much because it'll be directly in front of you or above you. But
and it's always going to be nice and cool either way.
Yeah.
Of your controlled temperature.
Yeah, but usually I tend to Friday, although Sunday might be the cheapest option. But it depends on what they're telling me that they're coming here to Houston for.
Cool. So my final question for you is, aside from the team on the field, and I know you're a Dodgers fan as well, so it's not always going to be your Houston boys. So what is your favorite thing about Minute Maid Park?
Joining the community has been great. I want to say it's been very welcoming. People are there to, like I said, watch the game. They'll talk to you about baseball. Like, you don't have to be there every day to see your face. They'll talk to you. It's like if you were their friend out in the outfield, because one, you're waiting for the game to start for 2 hours, and I guess the friendly nature of people in Houston. And if people find out that you're not from here, they'll tell you, like, hey, you got to go try this barbecue restaurant. Like, hey, you got to go try my favorite breakfast spot. And so I think it's nice, the culture around it. We're very welcoming. Like I said, unless you're a drunk and being rude about things, we're very open to people. I know a lot of free parking in the stadium. People tell you, like, hey, don't park in the lot. Look for a free parking spot on the side of the street before or after 6, and it's free. And we're very, I guess, helping. So it's been great, the culture and the people around us.
Maui, thank you so much for talking with us. This was some great information, and you are Minute Maid Park expert, so it's been great having you on the show.
Hey, man, thank you for having me. Sorry about the delay.
Hey, no worries. I'm glad. Better late than never, so this is great.
Well, folks, seconds may have passed for you, but I am now home from my trip to Houston, and I want to let you know how it went. I landed in Houston on a Tuesday, and I left on a Thursday. And to be honest, I had a fantastic trip. In that time, I was able to get in 2 games and a ballpark tour. Plus, for good measure, I got some great Texas barbecue and drove down to the Astrodome and ate my lunch in my rental car right outside the entrance of the parking lot. What could be better than that for a lunch? I don't know, maybe eating in a restaurant? Or a taco truck? Now, I'm pretty good at finding tickets on the secondary market and getting seats that I really like for my game. But if we're being truthful, whenever I follow the A's on the road, like I did this time in Houston, I have a special connection through the team and always get to sit with the players' wives and families. My grandfather, back in the days, was close to the A's travel secretary, Mickey Morabito, who has been with the A's since the 1980s and is possibly the best travel secretary in the business. Now, each team decides where they are going to put the friends and family of visiting teams. For instance, the Red Sox and Cardinals put us behind home plate, but many rows back under the overhang. Texas and Minnesota put us in the first row, right at the end of the visitor's dugout. Here in Houston, I was in the second row in 116, right behind the visitor's dugout, closer to the on-deck circle. Now, why couldn't we be in the first row? Well, I guess in Houston, that is reserved for Astros VIPs. So, right in front of me were 2 guys. One I recognized right away as Astros legend Craig Biggio. He was sitting with another former player that I didn't recognize, but I could tell that he looked like a former player. He also said that he played with A's manager Mark Kotze, and his kid played right field for the A's. I looked at the starting lineup, and the right fielder's last name was Nevin, and Kotze played for the Padres. That meant the player next to Biggio had to be Phil Nevin. So that was pretty cool. I didn't feel like asking for a picture or anything, but now I kind of wish I had. The next day, I took the ballpark tour. The Astros offer a whole range of tours, including pregame tours, off-season tours, and day-of-game tours. I chose the 2-hour Ultimate Fan Tour. And while at first, I couldn't get the idea out of my head that all these tours are just ways to sell sweets. I mean, my guide was very knowledgeable about the perks and prices of Minute Maid Park's various premium seating options. But then, things got better. We went up to the press box, which is cool. That's always a nice part of a ballpark tour. But then we went down to the field, and that was really cool. A lot of parks take you down to the warning track behind home plate, and you can walk a little to your left or a little to your right to take pictures. But in Houston, we started behind the plate and went all the way down the third baseline and into center field, which was pretty cool. One of the Oakland A's players was running laps as we were on the track. And then, to top it all off, they took us inside the old hand-operated scoreboard. I had never done that on a tour, so that was really cool. I really recommend the ballpark tour at Minute Maid Park, especially the 2-hour one that I took. And I guess if you go on an off day while they're out of town, then you might be able to see some other things like the clubhouse or the dugouts. But because it was a day game, they kept us on the field. But that was still a lot of fun. So then that night, it was time to meet up with my new friend, Leanna. Leanna is also from Houston and came with me to sit in the A's family and friends section. But then about halfway through the game, I decided I wanted to talk to her and hear more about her opinions about the Astros and Minute Maid Park. So we found a little quieter place up in the standing room only section of Minute Maid Park, this one up in the right field corner. And just a quick apology for some of the audio imperfections you might hear. This was our first time trying to record something from the game. So, you know, we learn a little bit every time. Let's take a listen.
Thank you. We're here up in the third deck at Minute Maid Park for our special trip to Houston, part two of our Juice Box tour with Tropicana Field and Minute Maid Park. And I'm very excited because Leanna was happy to join us today. Leanna, how are you doing today?
I'm fantastic.
Thank you so much for joining us. We are up kind of near a place called the Michelob Ultra. What is this place called?
The Michelob Ultra Club.
Now it's a club, but do we need a special ticket to be up here or anything?
So in the seats you do, but there is a special open like bar section that we have a lot of open areas for. What's the word? General admission tickets?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So it's great because you can come up here and pay. It used to be cheaper, but it's like $50 a ticket now, and you can hang here and just sit at like a bar rail. It's fantastic.
If you are somewhere else, can you also come up here and hang out at like a bar rail?
There's multiple places in this stadium. On the first floor, lots of general admission areas that you can just sit at and watch the game at.
I've noticed that. In fact, I'm looking over by the 66 pump?
That's the Phillips 66 gas pump. That is Home Run Alley. That's what we call it over there.
And that railing balcony looks like a pretty good place to watch.
That's a very important area. If you're here, the people sitting there are there all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they are multiple days in a row. So you have to get here, line up, and stand there. But it's the best. It's one of the best seats in the house.
It actually looks like it overhangs the field a little bit. So you're saying that the people who are over there probably get here when the gates open, and they're here all the time.
Absolutely. They're here before the gates open. They're standing outside waiting.
So the Crawford boxes, I'm looking over there, they have some standing room as well. Because I heard that those are like $100 a ticket for the Crawford boxes sometimes over in left field.
Yeah, so those are fantastic. That's where you get home runs. Amazing. Amazing. It's actually my most favorite spot in the entire stadium.
So you think if people have the chance, they should try for the Crawford boxes? So you told me that you recently just came back from seeing the Astros play in Mexico.
At Mexico City.
So how was the game? And that's a good stadium, right? That's a new stadium.
That was
down
actually
there.
Really nice. It was an outdoor stadium, and it was beautiful. And it was a good stadium.
What did you do first? Did you get your tickets to the ball game first, or did you get your hotel first, or your airplane ticket first? What do you do?
I always get my tickets first.
You got your tickets.
I'm not going to get the flight and all that until afterwards. So I've traveled a lot to see them, and I always do the ball field first because I have to secure my tickets. Because any way I'm going to get there, if I get my tickets, I'm going to get there.
Right.
So I got that, and then I got the airfare. And the hotel, I was like, I'll deal with that later. Mexico City is kind of pricey for a tourism area. So I did.
Do you think that had anything to do with the fact that there were two major league teams in towns and the city and the fans coming in?
I agree. I absolutely agree. So I did tickets, and then I did flight, and then I did hotel.
So you got your ticket through the team, right? Or through a season ticket holder or through someone. You didn't go through Mexico.
No.
The country of Mexico has a ticketing site.
No, I have friends who, like, because I go to games so often, they're like, hey, we have two extra tickets. Do you want them? And I immediately said yes. I jumped on them. I didn't even have any, like, hotel reservations, nothing. I was just like, I want them. I'll make it happen.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And so you got there in your game. You had what was the atmosphere like there in Mexico?
Oh, it was great. They had the World Series trophy there. There was just so many, like, because we played the Rockies, right? I feel like way more Astros, which I can understand. We're close to the border.
And you've got a pretty, as of right now, a pretty Hispanic-heavy team.
Absolutely.
I
mean, we're pretty close to the border.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we
So that felt like the home team? The Astros felt like a home team there?
Yes. It was the home team. Absolutely. I do feel like it was great, though. There was no ugly rivalry, because I do go to certain places, and there's some ugly rivalry. But we were all just there to have fun. And, like, even afterwards when we were leaving, we were having a fantastic time. I mean, we did win, but, yeah.
Since the Astros have had this scandal in their past, have you found it any different being a fan going to visiting ballparks?
Absolutely. I found a few ballparks that were very rough to attend. And I'm not one to be scared of my surroundings, but I have not attended a Yankees game because I personally know somebody here at my own ballpark that got punched in the face by a Yankees fan and ran off.
Tell me, are there any surprising ballpark or teams that you've gone to where you didn't think that it was going to be a harsh welcoming, that you actually kind of felt that there was a little bit of a harsh welcoming?
Tampa. And it was like this older gentleman. I'm sure he was like well into his 70s. And he was not very happy about me being there. Yeah, it's never going to go away. So you either stand behind it or you don't. And I'm going to always stand behind them. I don't think they even needed to do it. But they made their choice, and that's what they did.
I haven't even really decided if this part's going to make it onto the podcast because I don't really know if – I mean, I went on the tour today, on the ballpark tour, and I made a conscious decision not to, like, mention anything about, you know, cheating. That's the cheating or the scandals. And the guy next to me from Montreal was like, I didn't really follow. What happened with that whole cheating thing? What is that all about? I'm like, what do you mean, what was that all about? And so, our tour guide gave a pretty good explanation. He did do all the Astros talking points, you know. Well, the Yankees and Red Sox also had Apple Watches and
here's
and
the thing.
It was all like, Alex Cora's fault and Carlos Beltran's fault, and they're no longer here.
The rat.
Right.
Okay. So there's what's funny about it is like.
Oh, by the way, speaking of rats, do you hate Mike Fiers?
Fuck that guy.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Legit,
Mike Fiers is my hero. Mike Fiers is my hero. We're going to have problems.
So it's funny because So the Braves, okay, so here they do not allow bad shirts, okay?
They don't allow what?
Bad shirts. So
what's
like,
a bad shirt?
Okay, I'm going to tell you what I wore to the World Series, and I had turned inside out until I got inside. And it was like...
Oh, yeah, that's the way to do it.
I'd rather bang a trash can than a Braves fan. And you know what? Every Braves fan, like, and we got beat by the Braves that year. And you know what? It was a better year for them. It was not our year. And I understand. Oh, y'all caught a good. Sorry.
Okay.
It was not our year.
Well, that's the show for this week. I want to thank my guests Leanna and Maui for joining me and telling me all about Minute Maid Park. I had a great time. Like all of these ballparks, I recommend that you check it out yourself. Anyway, next week we will be back to our normally scheduled programming of going in order. I believe next week is Phoenix and Chase Field. So join us then. Until then, this is Jacob saying, so I believe next week is Phoenix and Chase Field, so join us then. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Ballpark Road Trip. If you like what you hear, feel free to follow the show on Instagram at Tours with Jacob. If you would like to get in touch with the show, you can send us a message on Instagram or feel free to email us at tourswithjacob@gmail.com. We'd love to hear any recommendations you have for your home ballpark. You can send us an audio recording by using your voice memo app on your smartphone and emailing it to tourswithjacob@gmail.com. Please keep your suggestions and recommendations to a minute or less. but feel free to send as many as you'd like. We'll make sure to get them on the show at some point. Thanks for listening. See you next time.